I just had a job interview.
Mm, tell me about the job interview.
Well, it wasn't actually. It was a pre-interview. I've now got a job interview on Thursday.
Okay. Are you excited about this?
No, I don't want a job. I want work. Oh. I don't want a job.
Yeah, I know. I know. So, I know what you mean.
They seem nice, though. They seem good, and it's remote work and all that kind of stuff. Apparently they get a lot of AI applications. So part of the call was just to make sure that I'm a human. So yeah, I mean, like, all of it is such a health.
What have we done?
What have you done? I was at I was looking around for work on Upwork. I think on Monday, and that is such. And I was aware of this a few years ago when I started looking for work, and it is a hellscape now because it's not enough. It's just fucking corporate greed. It's not enough that they take, that they chip away at your at the salary or what, you know, that whatever you earn from the job. That's not enough for them. So what you have to do now is you have to buy Connects, which are magic credits that you have to buy, and you have to bid on jobs by spending Connects, and you have to pay, you have to buy so many. It fucking sucks, Brendan.
And you don't even get the job. No. That's just to, like, that's a gamble.
Yeah, it's just a bid on the possibility of getting some work. It's a fucking hellscape, and I'm fucking sick of it.
Yeah, dude.
I got to work on being angry because I'm
incredible.
Angry.
Yeah, it's the time to be angry. Actually,
it's the time to be angry.
It's the time. It's we gotta all we really all need to burn this shit down.
Yeah,
like, it's time. Is anybody happy with capitalism anymore?
Yeah.
Is it working well for people?
The billionaires are very happy with capitalism. It's working out great for
them. Okay. Okay. So, like, a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. Have you met the 1% of the 1% Bernie Sanders?
There's no... Like, there's more of us.
Uh-huh.
We can... us non... Like, what?
Eat
guillotines,
the rich.
Man. Like,
eat the rich. Eat the rich.
I'm tired of this.
I'm tired, man.
I promised that I wouldn't come up with idea. I'll support. I'll be there. I'm not going to be the idea guy right now. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much. I'm too angry. I can't. Margaret sent us this article about, like, AI taking over jobs, and
I haven't been able to read it yet because I had a fuck of a weekend, and then it's just like, oh no, I don't know if I want to read about AI.
No, I mean, the thing is, like, it's more or less just saying, like, it's a good thing, but we just need a UBI, which is true, but also, like, it's only going to happen if we make it happen.
Yeah, and
do you want to talk about your fuck of a weekend?
Probably not.
Or is that too dicey to?
I think it's I think it's I think it has to be redacted. Suffice to say,
I get it. It was a fuck of a weekend.
Yeah, it was a fuck of a weekend. The search to find a marker mate continues. What the hell do we talk about? Because I'm now all upset.
I know.
You've got me all upset, Brendan.
Me too. Me too. Did I do it?
You did not. I like blaming it on other people.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I'll take it. Oh my god. Yeah, I kind of just feel like mentally kind of processing that a little bit. I'm mad too, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do about it.
I'm not going
to
take it anymore. I watched an interesting video this morning that was a bit of a screed. And I don't know if is a screed only something you can write? Maybe you can't. I don't know. It was a tirade. There you go.
A tirade. Yeah, there you go. That's perfect.
About, like, basically, what is it going to take?
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to take for us to do something? Anything.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say is, two things. Well, the one that just popped in my mind is old knackered voice, RFK Jr. Man, there's been some discourse about that. Are you aware of what he's been up to lately?
I have seen some clips from him, like, testifying in front of Congress, maybe, or something. I don't know, but otherwise,
well,
not.
Yesterday he had a big announcement, and Trump was backing it, and it's basically that over-the-counter pain relief is the latest cause of autism. So it's not diet, it's not anything. It's pregnant women taking over-the-counter pain relief. The only over-the-counter pain relief that they're allowed to take when they're pregnant. That's their fault, the autism. They're going to be recommending, despite there being no strong evidence to back this, they're going to recommend that you don't, that pregnant women don't take Tylenol, which over here in the UK is paracetamol, which is like, you know, the main like pain relief thing. That was the only one that pregnant women could reasonably take. Now it's going to be recommended that they don't. And yeah,
living in a hellscape.
Yeah. So okay. So there was that. But I was watching a video that was a tirade about like what is it going to take us? What is it going to take? And I was thinking about the swell. See, here in the UK, there is a movement brewing, and I don't know how that feels for you at the moment. Because part of this tirade was talking about how there doesn't seem to be much of a. I haven't heard a thing from the Democrats. Like, I haven't heard a thing from liberals.
Yeah.
As in, like, capital L liberals. In terms of what are they fighting, what are they saying, apart from the fact that they're getting, lots of people are getting oppressed just out in the streets, and Trump rolling in, rolling in the army into various cities. So there's that. But, you know, over here we've got... and I think I mentioned last week I've joined the Green Party, and that was because of this. And I'm one of like 70,000 people recently who have joined. And it's pretty much down to one guy. It's pretty much down to this guy called Zach Polansky, who is the great Green Hope. And he's...
We can't pin all our hopes on one person. But
no, we can't. And especially interesting with that party, they have elections every 2 years. So, you know, he's if he's not towing whatever line that's got to be towed, not happy. I mean, he was elected leader and one hopes that, you know.
And he brought in a whole bunch of people. Exactly. So he's probably going to stick around for at least one term.
But as you know, as any football fan knows, you know, the manager is only the darling manager as long as he's winning games. The leadership has to change. But you know, let's keep it hopeful. there is a movement seeming to form, and I'm going to cling on to that for as long as I can, because otherwise it does feel inevitable. Did you know that there is the alt-right are in Japan now?
I
didn't even think about Japan.
No, I did not.
Like, and then, in terms of left and right.
What? Yeah. Same here.
But they're pretty. They're
I don't know
pretty
anything about their politics.
They don't. Things don't really change. It's not like here and in the US where things would sort of vacillate between the two. My limited understanding is they don't really change. However, there is now an encroachment of the right into Japan, as there has been into Italy, as there is in France. It's spreading like fucking Sauron's, you know, whatever. Like, it's spreading like a darkness across Middle Earth. And what are we gonna do? You know, I'm not calling you out specifically. I'm just like, what are we as a people gonna fucking do? And at least I'm at a thing on Saturday when I'm gonna go and drop some leaflets, and I'm gonna learn how to talk to people. Hopefully, they're gonna give us some training about like how you talk to people.
Oh, cool.
So I could become someone who knocks doors and says, "Can I talk to you about the Green Party?" Who knows?
Hey,
thus begins my entry into politics.
Yeah. Yes, I love it.
Oh God, I'm so not equipped for that.
The book I told you about a few months ago, How to Change Someone's Mind. Oh, that's the one.
Oh, sure.
That's the book, but I don't remember the exact title. that was about what you're about to learn about. Mm-hmm. It was like talking to people about politics, and it was like according to the book, it was a different approach that was actually effective at convincing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole topic just gets me so exhausted.
Oh God. Yeah. And I keep wanting to record videos and getting like I get excited and get ready, and then I keep wanting to record videos for Flurry to start talking about stuff, and then life just keeps like lifing and just like pushes me down a little bit further, and it's like and at the end I've got nothing left, which you know again is how the system operates.
That's how it keeps us down. And I was just. So I've also started a no caffeine kick, and
welcome back.
Because I was using using caffeine for the to finish that project.
Yes.
And I was trying to push myself harder because my normal speed was going too slow, and for the story I made in my head, and then at the end of the project I'm like, okay, I no longer have that reason that I was using. I was telling myself. So if I was being honest with myself, I will stop now.
Okay.
All so right. I'm trying to be honest.
You're
with
calling
myself.
Yourself out. You're calling your own bluff.
I'm trying to call myself out. Yep.
Okay.
And going caffeine free, or well, not even caffeine free. I'm just not drinking coffee. Mm-hmm. And
See, that's the thing. Yeah, I need my coffee. I need. It's the ritual. It's the It's all that kind of stuff. I don't like. The idea of not having
I was thinking about how, and I know this is like kind of obvious and cliche and it's talked about all the time, but at the same time, it felt really fresh for me with coming off of it again, for the reason of work, mm-hmm. all of the big bads, the big industries that when we, call big pharma or big, food or, mm-hmm. big work in general, all work. It's they all feed into each other so seamless, mm-hmm. so perfectly for them to keep getting the most that they can out of us, yep. without us being able to rise up by like working us so hard that we need caffeine because we're not getting enough sleep, so we're tired and we're pushed, and that makes us more tired, and like it just feeds back into which drives cravings, because I had way more cravings while I was pushing myself then now while I'm off caffeine. And it's just and resting more and not trying to drive myself so hard. It's just so upsetting to see that this is what we do to ourselves.
I wish I had something entertaining to add, or just anything to add other than I'm feeling that in my bones. We have to draw in order to, because we all have to contribute to the system because we can't just exist. And that's fair enough. But we have to consume in these certain ways unless you opt out in certain things. And then you have to confront those decisions because the system has been designed to make things convenient. And then if there are certain inconveniences that you want to take, then that just makes your life unnecessarily harder. And you can tell yourself that you're doing that to be a good person. But actually, it's not even a drop in the ocean. It's just you making your life harder. And meanwhile, nothing changes because no one cares if you don't shop with Amazon. It literally doesn't matter because everybody else is going to shop with Amazon, and it serves the system well for that to be thought of as inevitable. Cool.
Yeah. Sometimes I think about like the efforts I try to make to be less wasteful, and it's like I got the smallest garbage can that the service will give us, and it only comes once a month, and like we try to keep it within that can. And this was before we had an extra roommate, but it was working pretty well. And then I look over at our neighbors and they have two garbage cans that are over full, and there are more people that live there, but it seems, and that's not just that house, it's like multiple houses down the street. And then like I think about like not buying from Amazon, like I've been off of it for I don't know a couple years now and it feels great. And then I look over and the Amazon truck is like hopping out and delivering four packages to my neighbor, and it's just like, it feels like it doesn't matter. I mean, I feel good to myself, like I'm making the right choice. Maybe I can talk to other people and they can see it works for me, and like then Pink Pony Club. I'm gonna keep on dancing till I forget all the world.
Disassociate. I'm gonna keep on dancing till I disassociate. Yeah, I mean, a question that's just arrived in my brain, and it feels like it has an easy answer, but are we feeling so frustrated and whatever by the current whole everything because we feel at the thin end of the wedge? I mean, do you feel at the thin end of the wedge of everything? Do you feel materially affected by shit?
Barely. Like, my records are delayed and I had that extra charge on a on the other shipment, and you know, it's okay. To me, I think that that's probably temporary during this administration. Like, some crazy tariff situation like that, it's gonna go away eventually, maybe, I don't know. But then, like, I'm not letting myself look at the day to day, so I'm not seeing what, from a distance, it looks like everybody's thinking that America is going to become North Korea, and like,
and you're just like, I'm like,
did every talk show host get fired last week? Like, did everybody but Seth Meyers lose their job? Is he on the chopping block now too? Like, what is going on?
Well, Jimmy Kimmel's back now.
Okay.
Yeah. Because no, we got the wrong end of the stick, Brendan. It wasn't anything to do with censorship.
Okay. No,
it was a different reason.
What the fuck happened?
Yeah, it was a different reason.
A corporate bullshit?
No. I'm being incredibly sarcastic. We're not supposed to believe it's sense. No. It had nothing to do with that.
Sure,
it's a different reason.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So they brought him back because of the backlash.
I assume so. Yeah, I think it's Disney. At the end of the day, they can't afford to lose goodwill.
I heard that. I heard from was it Marquise Brownlee? Somebody was saying that there was going to be 100% tariffs on Apple devices until Tim Cook went to Trump's office and gave him a gold bar worth $100,000+.
That is not 100% inaccurate. Yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It sounds like a cartoon.
Yes.
They gave the
little boy a trinket, and now and you know, Tim Cook paid towards his inauguration, kicked in his inauguration, but that was Tim Cook's money, not Apple's money.
When Daniel Ek sponsored War Drones, he did it with his own money too.
Yep. But he only has one job, and his job is Spotify.
What's that mean?
So the money comes from Spotify. Yeah.
Does Tim Cook have more than one job?
No, okay. No, it's same.
I wasn't sure where that came
same.
Up.
No, same. Like, it's, yeah, it doesn't matter that it was Tim Cook's money and not Apple's money. It's Apple's money. because he's Apple.
Yeah,
and he gave the president a gold bar, and then everything was okay.
I mean, that did enable it to be $1,000 iPhones instead of $2,000 iPhones. Like,
oh no, I mean, don't worry about it. Next year there will be $2,000 iPhones, but that's because I'm not worried. It's because they're going to put two iPhone Airs together and call it a flip or something. That's genuinely the rumor, and that'll be upwards of $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds fine.
Cool. Okay.
I've wanted the Mac laptops to be an iPad for a long time. I always thought that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they didn't listen to my mind.
No, they're not listening, Brendan.
They're not listening. That's my next. I actually just recycled my protest sign.
Ooh.
and because I have a new one in my head that I want to make, and it more or less said I gotta find a way to truncate it somehow, but it's more or less going to say they're not reading these signs. Yeah. They don't care about these signs. They care about money. We have to hit them where it hurts, where they'll notice. You have to stop going to work. You have to stop buying shit. Then they'll notice.
Okay. We can't stop going to work. Like if we're doing this, let's fucking do this. We can't stop going to work. And we can't stop buying things like food. We can stop buying iPhones. Yep. And we can stop buying. So we do the Secret Santa thing here. In my family, I mean. And I've just requested that we institute a no gag gifts rule. And I might actually say to my friends, like, don't buy me trinkets. Like, don't buy me things that, like, seem not, like, I, you know, a lovely friend of mine bought me some, like, essential oils and some relaxing bath stuff. And it's like, it was all this particular stuff that I don't know how to use it. I don't care. I'm not going to use it. Don't buy me stuff like that. You know, I will sit in my bubble bath and I'll be quite happy in my bubble bath, but like, don't buy me a bunch of stuff like that.
I think the same thing. Margaret has a couple friends that give her like gift bags of like a bunch of different cosmetics and like face masks and bath bombs or whatever. And there are things that I know that she doesn't really care for or use ever, because they're like really super scented or not her colors or, you know, not the products that she wants to put on her body. And I just think about the way, like every time I just think, what a waste. Yep. Like she's that person is trying to show that they care, but they don't actually know. Which they care, but they don't know.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I've had a gag gift for my birthday, which is still which is actually behind me, and it is a Trump bobblehead. It's Trump in a nappy, as you would say, a diaper, as a bobblehead, and that was bought for me. Which, you know, I'm keeping that. That's fine because that can go on the shelf. I also got given a toilet mat, a toilet mat that is a keyboard.
Yeah, how is that working?
Yeah, so I mean, I took the photo, I played a bit, and I went, that was fun on Christmas Day, and then and then it's been in my, because I'm not gonna actually deploy it.
Why not? Play a little ditty on the toilet while you're. You have a good one. You like do a specific little tune. It's like,
And so, like, no? Right. I was clearing out my cupboard over the weekend, and I came across it. And I was like, it's just gonna get. And like, I keep a hold of these things, and I'm like, I have to get rid of them because I know it feels, you know, ingratitudinous. It feels ungrateful, but like. Don't buy me the stuff, please.
Margaret and I are actually doing a similar thing. We on Saturday, I think, we spent a couple hours decluttering a bunch of, went through our library, purged a bunch of books, and went through the office and started sorting stuff and cleaning up. And it feels so good to like get rid of the things that we're not actually. Like we kept because we felt obligated for some reason. Sure. Like,
yeah,
you know, we feel obligated to keep a keyboard, toilet mat when like, we don't use it. It was just a gift. It doesn't mean we need to hold it. No. And speaking of holding things you don't need to hold, I can't remember where Margaret heard this, but she was listening to something. It was, a little bit advicey, I think. I can't remember. And it was talking about like arguments and like within your head or with other people and just like kind of holding that on yourself. And it was about astrology, and like this moment right now astrologically is a moment to shed all of the things that aren't yours to hold anyway, that are weighing you down, but like it's not even your problem. It's not your decision. It has nothing to do with you. You can let that go. Other people can take care of their own things. You can just focus on your own thing. And that's felt really appropriate for coming up for me this week and stuff. Mm. But that conflicts a little bit with the first topic.
Yeah. I heard, so in this rant video this morning, the phrase support network came up, and it sort of tingled something in the back of my neck, because I'm thinking about various pockets of activity or pockets of things that might crop up, or like groups of friends that you can hang out with, and you can complain about the state of the world and all the rest of it. And you know, maybe nothing gets done, or you have something that you do in a local party, or there's, you know, something like the singing group or whatever. But like the idea of a support network, I don't know, like, it's just that is what we're missing, a sense of cohesion, a sense of people knowing that they're on the same kind of side. There was a great, I listened to a great conversation hosted by Zach Polanski, the now leader of the Green Party. He's actually got a podcast, and it's not terrible. It's actually quite good. And he had a guest on, and they were talking about, I'll find that thing. It's just ADHD'd out of my brain. But what I will say is he was a former, like, super right-wing red pill, you know, one of those guys, and got kind of totally blue-pilled, and saw the light and became quite the leftist, and has been teaching people and like trying to spread the good word from the point of view of like, I've been there, like I know how these people think. You can't condescend to them, you can't, you know, do all those things. And it was, there's so many fascinating little nuggets in that, and one of them actually was about how quickly and easily a little something that looks and smells and quacks and walks like a duck, like a fact, but it is just made up, and how that can be said in a second. You can go, immigrants from this particular place are 9 times more likely to commit sexual assault, and that's just out there now. It's just out there. And
something you have to disprove now.
Yeah, and it takes so long. It takes so long to go, no, because that data was from here, which was skewed. This was double counted. This information was incorrect. You've removed a bunch. You've massaged this data. Again, it takes so long, and it's so tiresome. And people don't have that attention span to stop and listen, because it's far easier to just go, no, like, you know, this X number of whatever, like, it sounds, it walks and talks and quacks like a fact, but it's not. It's just a statement that's said with confidence, and it just takes so long to unpick that you can't do that. You can't fight on that stuff. And we on the left, which is dragging me back to the point I was trying to make that I forgot about. We on the left take so much time in fighting, and like, you're not the right kind of leftist. You agree with me on this thing, but you don't agree with me on this thing. The right doesn't care. The right goes, well, we've got a broader goal, and that's the direction that we're going to go in. They don't. I mean, there is infighting, and there is, there are tussles, but like, that doesn't seem to split the vote in terms of what they do. That doesn't seem to affect their agenda, where it does with us, because we're so we're looking to others to be, do you believe exactly the correct things? Because if you don't, then you need to be out of here. and you're not part of the thing anymore. And then those people splinter off.
Yeah.
And we just waste all of our time splitting off and not actually going, well, you know what? We kind of disagree about that thing, but we're trying to fucking fix the world here. So let's put those differences aside and crack on. We can't do that because we think we're too clever, or we think we're too righteous. We think we're you know, bah. There have been too many times recently where I caught myself doing this a lot. I'm sorry, I know I'm dominating the conversation, but hey, it turns out I've got a lot to say.
No, let it out.
I found myself on a call with a friend a week or so ago, and I kept complaining and then finishing it off with, well, you know, just like, just take that frustration or like, oh, well, it's all right. Take that frustration and just keep burying it. Just bury it a little deeper. Just a little deeper. Just keep pushing it down. Just keep pushing it down. It's all right. Nah, it's fine. Ah, don't worry. I mean, sure. Yeah. Who gives a bibble? Himity-hamity-ho.
Who gives a bibble? Title.
I lifted that from Marge Simpson. Who gives a bibble? Give a gabba. What's this? Something like, give it a gabba. Give a gabba. Hey, she keeps just reeling off. You know, so my husband doesn't love me. Who gives a bibble? Gabba gabba. Hey. Oh. Actually, I just did a faux cry. I think that's what I need to do. I think I need to have a big cry. I think I actually probably need to have a big fucking cry.
Yeah, man.
I think I'm very upset. You made me very upset, Brendan.
I feel you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh.
Let's all cry together. Let's do it. I'm sorry now. Okay. Can you cry? Can you bring it
I
up?
I don't
on,
think
on...
I can. I've managed to make I myself can. Terrified. purely
oh, no, that's not good.
Purely through my own mind, because I can I can spiral like a motherfucker, and I can really make myself scared.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, no, it's not great. I don't know if I can do. Yeah,
it's hard to bring up the anger. It's easy for me to bring up the sadness. Yeah. The sadness is just like right there under the surface. I can just like. Somebody says something touching, and I'm like, my parents didn't love me. But the anger stuff, it's just like, I don't know. It used to only come out when I'd see somebody flick a cigarette butt out their car window. That used to piss me the fuck off. Really? I mean, I get so mad. I'd yell. With the windows rolled up, and like, still behind them, so they have no idea. And I'm just like, "You motherfucker! God, world's not your ashtray." But then, and then at some point, I just kind of got over that. I was like, "Eh, they fucking suck. Whatever." All different types of people. I buried that anger. Yeah.
Well, there's a difference because you know we can let go of things. We can let go of anger. And I think I was thinking about that. Actually, I was thinking about like the kind of like centristy type people who want to do the whole. And like I love Tom Merritt. But I think sometimes he has a tendency to or towards maybe a little bit of Pollyanna-ishness. And. It got me down a road.
But he's like the ultimate news anchor. Like he's I mean, he's kind of what you want as that, right? Like the presentation of neutrality, at least. He definitely shows a little bit of liberal underbelly sometimes, but like primarily just kind of like, he's like translucent glass. He's just.
Yeah. Yeah. He won't be drawn, which is fair enough. And it got me on the thing of like, no, like we've got to take sides. And this is me. This is all my shower thoughts this morning. It was like, we've got to take sides and we've got to fight. And then I was like, instantly hate that.
Yep.
I instantly hate that, that idea.
I mean, that's just civil war. That's
It is.
And I don't even mean just within a country. I mean, it's like, it's the world at this point. It's the world is at civil war.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
And I think
am I wrong?
No, you're not. I think the problem is we keep It's the, and I hear this analogy a lot because of one of the podcasts I edit, but it is the frog in boiling water. We keep, the heat keeps getting turned up, and we keep going, is this fascism, or is this oppression, or is this authoritarianism? Mm-hmm. And it's like,
I can kind of deal with this.
I mean, I guess, well, we mustn't make a fuss. Or we're just, you know, or we're too tired.
I know. A podcast of two nines trying to fix the world's problems, and just like, they're just sleepy and can't decide.
Sleepy nines who can't decide.
Title. I mean, come on. What are you doing?
I mean, that's kind of what this, we should just rename Convergence to Sleepy Nines Who Can't Decide.
Sleepy Nines Who Can't Decide. title.
Uber title. I tell you, I left my session with my guy today.
How'd that go?
It was, I don't know.
Was it talking about the weekend?
And one of the things that I've, sorry, listener, I don't wish to withhold things from you, but like, you know, it's difficult. It may come out at another stage. But also this person might hear it, and I bear this person absolutely no ill will. I bear them the opposite of ill will, in fact. I bear them goodwill. Anyway, we were talking about, like, I've been thinking again about, like, my place in the world, my, like, my sense of who I am. And we had an interesting discussion, actually, about identity. Because, you know, I was giving it the whole, like, I don't really know who I am. And he had an interesting point that I thought was, or, you know, he brought up about, like, identity for some is important because, effectively, like, it might be because you've got to defend it. It might be something you've got to fight for. So that might be a sexual identity or a race or whatever. But that aside, identity is really just a series of, this is me paraphrasing, but a series of choices that we make every day about, like, what do I want? What am I going to do? Mm. That's really your identity.
I like that lens.
Because, you know, it stops you then maybe thinking about, like, it's almost like, what would a mark do? Like, what is a mark supposed to do? Well, a mark is defined by the things he does. So you have to do something in order to find out what a mark does. And it's because you've got that whole...
I was just saying that same phrase a couple of weeks ago. What would I do?
What would I do in this situation? It's crazy. And then there's that school of thought that says, like, action comes from identity. You have to believe that you are the sort of person who would do this thing before you can do the thing. And I'm looking at that going, or do we do the thing?
Is that true? Yeah.
And that then it doesn't require belief. It's not about belief.
Yeah. You just did it.
Because I could be the type of person who doesn't hurt people, but I fucking hurt people. Like, I know that from this week, from this weekend, not because I'm a bad person, not because I had any ill will to bear, but I definitely hurt someone. I didn't mean to, but I did. So if my identity is as someone who doesn't cause harm, now my identity is...
And then you cause harm, and then, your identity is destroyed.
Yeah, and that may be why, you know, why I sort of... came out of the session, like, because, like, if you're wrapped up in that sense of identity, a Mark or a Brendan wouldn't do that sort of thing, or that's not who I am,
right?
If you can say this lovingly without judgment, it's what you did. Didn't, you know, you didn't intend it, or you didn't intend it in that way or whatever, but it is what you did. And so...
Yeah. It's kind of like our talk a long time ago about saying, like, I have extra weight versus I am fat. Mm. Or, I remember there are other ways of, like, describing yourself.
Yes. And, having fat as opposed to being fat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having
the intention to not hurt people versus being a person who doesn't hurt people.
Yeah. And I, you know, I can think of that in terms of in terms of weight loss and thinking, well, I'm not the sort of person who would eat this, but I'm going to be that person tomorrow because right now there is a bag of chocolate buttons that needs to be eaten.
Button.
The hardest button to button. But you know, my identity is as like, it doesn't, your identity as someone who eats well doesn't start until you eat well. And then if you eat, and then the problem with identity then is like, if you then eat badly, or, you know, if you don't eat towards to what you want, whatever, then it's like, where's your identity gone?
I'm very familiar with that roller coaster.
So I
like the other roller coasters better.
So I might bear that in mind when I think about, because it's funny, like, I don't know if this is related, but I've found myself frustrated by kind of identity politics before.
It's horrible.
You know, I find it, I don't know, like, potentially controversial thing you're not supposed to say thing, alert klaxon, but I roll my eyes to the back of my head when I see people put their pronouns in their profile name, because I'm like, there should be a space for that, but it's not the most important thing about you. Like, there is so much more that is interesting apart from what do we call you when we can't call you by name. Like, that's so, and I know for you and yourself, that's a different thing. But like, as a projection out to the world, I get, you know, like, people don't want to be misgendered, and that's fine. But like, it's not.
Yeah. Well, they are also displaying that their gender identity is very important to them. When it's optional like that, it's actually kind of great, because then you are getting to know them a little bit more. That's very important to them.
Yeah. And I just, and which we, you know, maybe fork in the road, but like, we you know, I talking to you over WhatsApp about like identity in terms of like, I was watching Nobody 2, and I found myself like, I was really enjoying it, and there was a tiny little piece of me that got a little bit testosterone-y. I was like, I've eschewed that for so long, and I don't know why.
Yes.
Same like here. Anything masculine, I really roll my eyes at, or really like.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm not. Like, I know I'm a, I know I'm a bloke. I know I like women. Yep. I like, I'm default, like, in that, I'm the default settings. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying, like, when you go file new human, that tends to be, if they're a man, they're, those are the settings, right? But I don't feel like, and maybe this is why I kind of roll my eyes at the gender stuff, because it's like, I don't, there's so much more interesting things about a person.
Sure. Sure.
And maybe that's because I don't know, man. I just don't care. Like, I don't care that much.
Yeah, I think it's a bit because you don't care.
But people do.
Yeah. Some people do. Yeah. Everybody's
different.
Everybody's different. It's fucking weird. It's great. It's really great. God. I'm glad everybody's different. But like,
yeah.
Yeah, everybody's really fucking weird. Doing weird things, which makes it all the harder, like our world civil war. It's like, everybody's fucking different. They're picking the sides because they think that that's the right thing.
Yeah, of course.
From their weird fucked up history, no, I don't know. Just from their own, you know, experience through life and parenthood and society and country and perspective on world events, how they are actually being treated, mostly by my country. it's no wonder they hate us. What were we talking? We were talking about something much more fun. Identity. Nobody.
No. Yeah. No, oh yeah. Nobody too. It's, you know, it's, these are
Carl and I were just watching Nobody One, cool. And we had just gotten to the bus scene when Margaret got home. And so I paused it because I'm like, I'm not going to start the bus scene while she's like trying to say hi and stuff. And, you know, we catch up and she sits down and then, you know, I was just like, well, we'd just like to watch, keep watching our movie. And, you know, she's like, going to get ready for bed or whatever. But so I played it and then she just, she stays and watches for a little bit. And she's like, you guys like this? Just the, all this violence and it, you know, her coming into it with no context and it seems very senseless, of course. And, but, yeah, it, you know, it tickles something. It's, it feels, there is a masculine pull to like fighting for your family and sticking up for what's right and punching dudes who are dicks. And yeah, it feels correct and necessary. It feels masculine and macho. And, I have also pushed that away for a long time in my life and felt very feminine or neutral. And, yeah, it's an odd experience to try and bring that back in, and masculinity, that is. And, it's not an easy one. It to me, it correlates, it feels like it correlates a lot with the anger repression. I feel like I'm scared of, and maybe I'm falsely tying them together or something, but like I'm scared of the anger. And I think that the anger is tied to the masculinity so that I'm also therefore scared of the masculinity. I think there might be like some sort of triangle effect going on there. And yeah, sometimes when I, you know, we go to the Rage Room, like the Rage Room was fun and yeah, it was a bit cathartic and stuff, but it's, I think it's a bit more fun than anger. Yeah. Like I didn't actually feel anger when I was smashing those glasses or
I wasn't really tapping with the baseball. Into anything latent.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really surface and really like enjoyable, but not deeply cathartic.
Yeah, it's just like, what happens when we do this? How does this object smash as opposed to like, I really need to see something burn.
And when I do tap into that deep anger, it's a bit scary. It's uncomfortable and it's I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to be safe, myself or other people around me. And I get worried about that.
Hard saying, from someone who, a couple of weeks ago smashed his favorite headphones on the floor and watched them just like shatter. It's scary.
Sorry.
Thank you for saying that. It's scary what, how that can feel and how that comes out, and there's so much judgment about it, and there's judgment of like, what if someone had seen me do that? You know, because I've been caught once or twice. Like I remember years and years ago, because obviously there's stuff tucked away here, and I don't love that. Trying to get into my office, my old like where I used to work, when I used to have a job, and fiddling around with the key and getting so frustrated and being like, and properly like fucking jamming the key around and, you know, and one of the employees turned up and she hadn't been there. I hadn't been in the company for more than like, I don't know, 3 months or something. But it was one of those like brief moments of like, I was obviously just fucked off. And you know, this key wasn't keying. And she just had that like, okay, like, okay. Yeah. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck, you weren't supposed to see that. Yeah, you weren't supposed to see that. It wasn't for you. Oh, no. And then you tell yourself, coming back to identity, I'm not an angry person.
Right.
But what did you just do? You know? And I wonder, actually, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
How much...
So I got to repress that can't be. It cannot exist. Yeah. So therefore I will bury it in my mind, in my
or
body.
Or I'll shame myself.
Somewhere deep where I cannot I cannot accept that happened. So it didn't.
Yeah. Or it was misunderstood, or it's just a momentary frustration. Meanwhile the brain's going, that's not what it was, dude. Like you got angry.
Mhm.
And so then, like, it fucking identity, man. It's coming back, because then it's like, well, if I've got this much anger in me, if I'm this angry a person, how much more is there in there? And it's like, there, you know, therein comes the shame, and therein comes the fear of self, of like how much anger is in there, and what happens if it bubbles over, and because you've now had to identify as an angry person rather than you were angry for a moment. I had the thought, I think over the weekend, I was listening to Hamilton, the soundtrack, and one particular track came on, and I added it to my gym playlist, and I haven't needed, I can't remember if it was, I think it might have been My Shot, but there's possibly, there's the Lafayette song, I should probably, you get to get right head man back. I should probably add that, because that's got a good pace. Lafayette! But as I was listening, and I had my headphones on, and I cranked it all the way up as high as it would go with My Shot towards the end, and it got me thinking about running in my local park, which I haven't done in I think 5 years. And it just, for just a moment there, I was like, could be out running to this. And I know that is that has been a pretty good use of anger, because you can put it into your body, and you can let it propel you. And you know, it might mean that you pound yourself into a bit of a pulp afterwards, but like that is, I think that's a healthier way of doing it, as long as you're also talking about it with someone, talking about the things that make you angry, to get the stuff out of your body,
writing them,
feels
probably
about right.
Yeah,
because as long as you're getting out of your head, like, as well, if it's still stored up in your body, that's what you need to work on, on getting out. And I think that kind of vigorous exercise is good for that.
I agree. No. Yeah. I like to play acoustic guitar and sing, scream kind of really loud. That's something I forget that I like that as an outlet. Yeah. I should get back to that. I should do that more. Let's assign ourselves a task for the next week. We'll do something that helps our anger a little bit.
All right.
I'm going to play some acoustic guitar. You're going to go run, dance in the park?
I might go for a run.
Nice.
I mean, it might have to be a... I genuinely did think about the Couch to 5K again.
Yeah. When was the last time you did that?
That probably was, because and it did really well for me, because I then ended up doing a 50K thing over 10 days.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a really good little challenge.
I remember that,
I don't think, I'm pretty sure. Oh, I remember briefly, I had a dalliance with doing, there's a Zombies Run app. It's called Zombies Run, I think. And I did a little bit of that for a bit, but only a couple of days. Because I think part of it is like, again, weirdly, I think I'm bringing it back to identity. I'm bringing it back to, I'm forging a new identity, rather than today, this morning, I'm going out for a run. Like, what if I just went out for a run when I felt like it?
Yep.
There's a thing, you know. What would that do? What would that mean? Rather than having to create this new identity, I'm starting to think that is self-help bollocks.
And as always, the only thing that stands between us and buoyant happiness is our own unconscious resistance to it. and correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks.
I know she's gonna scream, God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong, down at the
pink pony club.
I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood. I'm gonna keep on dancing down the pink pony club. Pink pony club.
That'll sound amazing when it syncs up, but for you that must have sounded awful with the delay.
You did really well to keep going. I noticed that you were I could hear you, but then I was like, oh, tuning you out.
Yep.
I can't.
Yep, well done.
That was fun.